Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for every day, Lord, that you give us. And Lord, we think of the daily things, that how you bless us and keep us, protect us and guide us. And Lord, but we thank you for this day, this age. Lord, being the greatest day, the greatest time that has ever been upon the face of the earth. And Lord, when men's hearts are failing for fear, Lord, your bride is resting, Lord, in the comfort of your kingdom, Lord. They're in your presence daily, Lord. And Lord, they're at rest. They're giving you thanks and praise, Lord, for all things. And Lord, we know that there's a turmoil in Israel. And Lord, we know that you are with your people. And Lord, we see a difference in the attitude. We see a difference in the value of life in the people, Lord. And it's such a time of utter disbelief, Lord, that how that people can be so uncaring and so wishful of death upon one another. Lord, may you help your people, Lord. May you just bless them in this time of struggle and trial. And just, we commit all things to you. We pray for Brother Goomba. You would bless him, Lord. Strengthen him and guide him. Lord, bless his family here and there, Lord. So we just commit all to you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here and to once again continue in the lesson. And we give him the thanks and praise. So we started talking a little bit on Sunday about the power of Pentecost, because there was a power that was poured out upon the people. And that power was the promise of the age. It was the promise of what God had spoken through those prophets back there of what he was going to do and what he was going to do to his people. And so when he poured out that power, he vindicated it. And he vindicated in the elected ones of every age. And so coming through, we've looked back at the Old Testament, and we looked at the church ages many times, and we know that for the last 2,000 years that God has gave his promise, and he's vindicating that promise in every age. And so that's, we want to take that for a subject tonight and just read a little bit on what the prophet has said. We're going to start in the message, works as faith express. And so we know that faith is revelation. So paragraph 308, Jesus said, if I do not the works, listen close now, if I do not the works, and let me add this to it, that is, if I do not the works that the scriptures tell you I will do that in my age when I come. What the Messiah was supposed to do when he come. Now, Brother Branham is referring to Jesus. He's talking about Jesus saying these words, that if I do not the works that the scripture says that the Messiah is supposed to do, he said, then don't believe me. But if I do them, if I do them, see, what the Messiah was supposed to do when he come, if the things that I do, if God doesn't vindicate that word that he said would happen, that's what's got to happen. God has to vindicate it. And that's what's been happening ever since Genesis 1. God has been vindicating his word. He's been vindicating the promise that he gave. What he had in his mind for every age, for every time, for every person that would come upon the earth. God is vindicating that. So let me read that again. If God doesn't vindicate that word that he said would happen, if my life doesn't make that word live just exactly what it said it would do. Don't miss this. Jesus saying, you know what the Messiah is supposed to do. Then if that word that's written, and then it don't manifest itself through me, then I'm not he. See? Amen. Then the day that I speak of is wrong. What John said about me was untrue. Then if I'm not that Messiah, If those works that Messiah was supposed to do, he is to be the Lord your God. I'm sorry. The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And you haven't had a prophet for hundreds of years. And if them works that I do, that God promised, if they aren't manifested in my present life, then I'm not he. But if the promised word of this age is vindicated in me, then I am he, and the promise has come to you. See, oh my, don't you see how much plainer? How much plainer could it be? See, the promise. So God, and once again, every age, not just in Jesus. Jesus was standing there identifying himself and saying, if I do not the works, then I'm not him. And what is the works? The works is the promise made manifest. It's the word of God that God promised for that day. Then God manifested. And he manifested in somebody. And when he does that, that's the vindication. It is simply the vindication when you see what the Bible says living out in your day. And honestly, that's what catches every believer. They see the reality of what God promised. That was the thing I can remember when I first heard the message. I first heard the first time I went into and heard the prophet mentioned. I was in Florida. I was, I think, maybe 20, 21 years old. I was just a young man, and we had been talking for a long time. We had known each other for a few years, and when God put me in a place where I could go, and I was invited into a home, and to with just a few people that was meeting there, and this brother that was preaching, he introduced to me the prophet of this day. And when he began to tell the things that had been done, when he began to identify that the blinded eyes had been opened and that the dead had been raised and proven, vindicated. I mean, the doctor's records, people that had died in the morning and went to the doctor wrote the report, this person was dead, a mother, a Spanish mother in Mexico. Her baby had died in the morning. She took it to the doctor. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do. The baby's dead. Brother Branham was in meetings in Mexico at that time. And she took that dead baby all day long. She carried that baby. And it was raining. She carried it in the rain. She carried it to the meetings that night. And that night, God showed the prophet a vision. And that baby was raised from the dead. After being dead for more than at least 12 hours, that baby was raised from the dead. And I heard those things. I heard that all the different things that of healings and supernatural and the discernment, people's hearts being discerned, exactly what the Bible said in Hebrews 4, that the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts. He knows your thoughts. No man knows your thoughts. Nobody else knows your thoughts. God, the Word of God, knows your very thoughts. And it's a discerner of your thoughts. That's the reason the woman at the well, that when Jesus began to talk to her, he told her her whole life because he was the Word. And he discerned her whole life. Only God can do it. A man can't do it. God does it. And so when it's working through a man, that means God's in that man. And the difference of the real and the false, the impersonators, because there's millions of impersonators. There's millions. That's the reason it has a bad name. But the real, it never fails. You watch the impersonators. You watch them when they come and they say, God told me this and God said this, and they prophesy over you and they have all these different things. And there may be something there that's true, but there'll be, if there's one thing missing, God don't miss. So if there's one thing that's amiss, that's not God. Because when God does it, it's perfect, and it's perfect every time. It's not right half the time, not even 99% of the time. And that was the thing that when I heard those things, I said, that's what the Bible says. That's when I read my Bible, I see in that man exactly the same thing. And it turned me around. And I was not a churchgoer. I was not a religious person. I didn't care anything about it. I just was in the world and I partied. I did all of those things. But when I seen it living, it changed my life. It changed my life. That was it. And that's exactly what happened in the Bible. We read it over and over and over again. When Philip seen it, he seen the reality. And he went and he traveled. I don't know how far, how many hours away. He traveled to get his brother. And he went and told him, he said, hey, you need to come and see. We have found the Messiah. We believe this is the one. This, and he's like, who is this? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. And his brother said, can any good thing come from there? Because it was a bad place. There was lots of prostitution. There was lots of gambling. There was lots of drinking. It was a bad place. But God put a genuine seed, a real genuine thing right there in the midst of all of that darkness. God had some light. And Nathanael doubted. He said, can any good thing come from there? And he said, come and see. And when he walked in the presence of Jesus Christ, Jesus spoke. He didn't have time to question him. He didn't have time to do anything. He said, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. This one's not a hypocrite. This is a real, genuine Israelite here. And he said, when did you know me? And he said, I saw you when you were under the fig tree, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It didn't take anything else. He was done. He melted right there. His heart melted. His life melted. Everything. He knew that this was the Messiah because no man could discern the thoughts and intents in the heart. He knew nobody could do what this man was doing. God had to be in there. It settled it because he seen it. And so the priests seen the same thing. They seen the same thing that Nathanael saw. They seen the same thing that Philip saw. And yet they called it the devil. And they could not recognize the presence of the living God. That's the whole Bible right there. That's the whole Bible right there. God revealing it to one and hiding it from another one. And one person receiving life and another one not able to receive life. One receiving healing and another one rejecting healing. Because they don't believe that he can do it. They don't believe he's the same God today that he was in the Bible. He's the same God right today as he was right there in the Bible. If he could open the blinded eyes there, he can open blinded eyes today. If he could raise the dead in the Bible, then he can raise the dead today. If that's not true, then it's not true back there. If he can't do it now, it's not true back there. But it is true. It was proven true. It was seen, and it was vindicated by God. And God sent a prophet and vindicated again in this day just for us. Just for us, he did it again. Praise be to God. And them works that I do, that God promised, if they aren't manifested in my present life, then I'm not he. But if the promised word of this age is vindicated in me, then I am he. And the promises come to you. Oh my, don't you see how much plainer could it be? That's right. Then, if the promise of that day is manifested in my ministry. See? Now, he's taking it off the fact that this is God in flesh. And he's identifying it with ministry. So that means, so it doesn't have to just be the Son of God. It doesn't just have to be God in flesh. But it can be God in any ministry, any flesh that God wants to use. Not just this flesh. See? Then if the promise of that day is manifested in my ministry, said Jesus, then I am he. So if you can't hardly believe who I am, then look at the works that's promised for this day. Amen. Look at what's being done. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at the works that's promised. If them works isn't fulfilled, Every one of them in me. Once again, he says every one of them. It can't be part. It can't, not one thing can miss. Everything that the scripture said, everything that the prophet said, every prophet said about him had to happen exactly like they said. And so all the Bible, all the scriptures that God put in here for our day has to happen in this day exactly the way God said that it would be. And it's there. It's exact. See? If you can't believe me, just look what the Bible said will happen in this day. And if it isn't happening, then it isn't right. And if these false things isn't here, see, and all these other things, and the things that's supposed to take place, you know, all those false things, they're promised to be here too. They're promised. The deniers, the mockers, the liars, the impersonators, the devil worship, all of it, they're all prophesied to be here. The Bible says they would be here. See, if it isn't here, then I'm wrong. But if it is, Jesus said, then I'm he. Amen. I am he that was promised to come. Oh, the same works that was promised in his day vindicated him to be that Messiah. Don't you believe that? I know we do. It vindicated him. It vindicated him to be the Messiah. But they didn't all get it, did they? Only a little group. Luke 17 and 30th verse. The promise of Jesus Christ just before his coming, that the world would turn back to Sodom. Oh, it has, hasn't it? It just gets worse every day. And the messengers would go out, and the things that would be done just exactly. What was those messengers that went down to Sodom? We got, Brother Brandon said, we got a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. They went down to Sodom to preach, to try to pull the people out, to show them the basics of salvation. But yet, for that elect, God sent God in flesh, a prophet, a God prophet again, to discern the thoughts that was in the heart, vindicating the presence of God to Abraham and Sarah, the elected of that day. See, the things that would be done just exactly, if that isn't taking place, then don't believe me that I've told you the truth. But if it is taking place, then believe that it's him. Believe that it's him. That's the beauty of it. Jesus gave God the credit. Brother Branham gave God the credit. He said, it's not me, it's him. Jesus said, it's not me, it's him. It wasn't this veil of flesh. It wasn't what some man could do. It's what God did, what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Then don't believe me that I've told you the truth. But if it is taking place, then believe that it's him. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. Amen. The Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh. You people, the church. How about that? Just exactly like it was before the days of Sodom. A called out group away from all of them, setting out, believing the promise of God, glory. I want to read that again. He said, the Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh. You people, the church. God has a body. It is the body of Jesus Christ. It is the flesh of his people. It is the flesh of the bride in this last days. We're not all trying to be the prophet. God give that gift to one. We're not trying to be that. But we're part of that body that believes everything that was being done through his body. Everything that God ordained for him to say and for him to do, we're believing that. And then everything that God wants to vindicate in us, he's doing it. He can still raise the dead. He can still heal any disease. He can still open blinded eyes. God can do it. And if he wants to use you to do it, he will do that. Because he made you capable to believe every word of God. Malachi 4. Oh, no, let me back up. Let's start at the top of 3:11. And the works that the Holy Spirit is doing today by these visions never failing. Let me just say, it wasn't hundreds of visions. It wasn't thousands of visions. Brother Branham had tens of thousands of visions. We can't imagine sometime that how many times in a day that God was revealing the needs of the people. There was times that he stayed on the pulpit, on the platform, for days at a time, and stayed there. He slept there. He ate there. He would sleep a few hours, get up, and minister to the people, praying for the people being healed, revealing the secrets of the heart. And there was literally tens of thousands. We can't imagine the strain that that was on a veil of flesh. He almost had a complete breakdown, and he had to go off the field for a couple years to recover. But he gave everything that he had, everything that he had. But it was tens of thousands of visions that never failing, promises never failing. Listen to this now. All the apostolic signs promised in the Bible. Now, he's going to identify for us that Pentecost won't work today. Luther, Wesley, nothing back there is going to work today because God is doing something new today. Okay? So God's identifying that. So you remember what we were reading on Sunday, that the people are saying because that the Bible is fulfilled, that the apostolic works, that power and those things are gone. Brother Branham said, no, it's not. That power is still here. That power will always be here. Wherever the presence of God is, it's the same way that they get off when they're talking about no more mercy or no more grace. It's the same thing. Wherever he is, there's mercy and grace. And wherever he is, there's power. And so he's identifying now, even though the Pentecost is over, all of these apostolic promises are here. That he can raise the dead, that he can heal the sick, that he can do anything that he wants to do. The only problem is people are failing to get the greatest thing, and that's eternal life. Healing this natural body is wonderful. We want that. We want it to be good. We want to live as long as we can. But eternal life is greater than any of that. Yes, sir. Anything we can have in this life does not compare with eternal life. And that God has to vindicate that in us. He has to reveal that in us. He has to draw us and give us revelation of all of this. All of the apostolic signs promised in the Bible of Malachi 4. Now this Malachi 4 is for this end time. This is the word being made flesh. And oh, the Revelations 10:7, the word made flesh again, God coming down in the cloud. All that's being fulfilled and proved by scientific every other way. And if I haven't told you the truth, these things would not have happened. See? But if I have told you the truth, they bear record that I've told you the truth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. Revelation 10, Malachi 4, promises for this day, vindicated, manifested. God has fulfilled the scripture that he promised to open in this day. And the manifestation of his spirit. Listen, this is the prophet identifying. He's identified scripture for this day. And he's saying, if I haven't told you the truth, then these things could not happen. But if I have told you the truth, and you see them happening, that's the vindication. And now listen what he says. The manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Let that faith, revelation, fall into your heart that this is the hour. Not in the future, not in another time. This is it. The Spirit of God, the manifestation is the vindication. It's God vindicating the word. And when you see it vindicated, you see it manifested, you see it proven, then automatically you recognize it. and you say, this is God. Just as Nathanael and Philip, they seen him reveal the secrets of the heart. The woman at the well, he told her exactly what she had done. Told her her whole life, revealed her whole life. Nothing was hidden. And there she knew that this was the manifestation. And the Spirit of God caught her away, caught her into the revelation. And she was caught up into the kingdom of God. She then was sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in that day, in that age that she was living in. The Word, she had all the Word that had come so far. She was living in it. She was a part of it. The manifestation of His Spirit is catching away a bride. And let that faith, revelation, fall into your heart that this is the hour. Not tomorrow, not next week, not right now. Let that revelation fall into your heart that this is the hour. Dear God, who was manifested in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, that raised up from the dead the third day, according to the Scriptures, and ascended on high, and sent the disciples out to disciple all the world, and said, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. God, to this Pentecostal church of this day, the restoration of the gifts, He's identifying their promise. He's identifying their covenant. He's identifying the vindicated word that was promised to them. Gifts were promised. Lord, may those men, maybe some of them present here, some of them hearing the tape around the world, may they realize that this is the calling out of the bride, not a Pentecostal message. There, Lord, these men, they receive the promise. They recognize the promise. They've seen the vindication of the power of Pentecost. They've seen the gifts. They've seen the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've seen all these other things. But may they realize now that this is another time. This is another day. This is another message. Just like when Jesus stepped on the scene, that was finished. John's message was finished. Moses' message was finished. The prophet's message was finished. Now Jesus Christ was standing with a new covenant. It was a new day. It was a new hour. And He began to manifest that promise, and God vindicated His life, vindicated the Word in Him at that time. May they realize that this is the calling out of the bride, not a Pentecostal message. The Pentecostal message was to restore the gifts back to the church. But this is the calling forth of the bride. Another message that was to come just before Sodom was to be burned. Praise be to God. Let them understand, dear God, faith. I believe this because it's revealed by Your Spirit through the Word of God and has been vindicated and made manifest to the whole world. Certainly, Lord, in the minority, always Your groups are that way. But You said, fear not, little flock. It's Your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. Praise be to His name. This is in, we're changing messages here, to God's only provided place of worship. Paragraph 79. Then if there's only one place that God will meet man, we had better be careful, very careful. Now let's lay aside our traditions this morning and in this Sunday school lesson, and be very sure that we find that one place. Because God has said here, He'll not receive you in any other place, any other church. He won't receive you in. Only in His church, the only place that He'll receive you. And what did you say, brother? Now, what do you say, brother? Branham, if I'm sincere, he's asking the question. He's saying, you say, Brother Branham, what if I'm sincere? No. Remember, Jesus talked to some sincere people, the worshipers of His day. And He said to them, in vain do you worship Me. See, true, genuine worship from the bottom of their hearts. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those scribes and those Herodians, they lived a holy life. They lived, they did nothing. They lived as close to a perfect life as you could live. Yes, in the flesh. It's amazing when you think what they lived. And Paul was the same, and he was the strictest. The Pharisees were the strictest sect. That they, the things that they did, and they were so careful and to obey every little letter of the law. But Jesus said, "In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man." See, or their denominational creed. Sincere, reverent, just as religious as can be. And that wasn't new just with the Pharisees. Cain and Abel, the first two worshipers that was born, natural birth here on earth, absolutely came in the same attitude. So what we see so clearly in the days of Jesus, in those Pharisees and Sadducees, it did not start there. It was all the way back to the first two boys in the garden. They were sincere. They worshiped God. They loved God. They wanted to please God. Both of them did. Both of them came to please God. He said, absolutely came in the same attitude. Cain was just as religious as Abel was. They both built altars. They both loved God. They both made sacrifices. They both worshiped. They both paid tithes. They both done everything just alike. What did they both have? They both had free moral agency. Both of them had free moral agency. Both of them was going to make their own choice. That's what they were going to do. They were going to make their own choice because God put them here on free moral agency. Now watch this. But Abel, by faith, which is the revelation, the word of God revealed, made plain, showed out, and vindicated glory. Cain made an offering, but God didn't vindicate Cain's offering. God didn't vindicate it. Both of them, God put in both of them a desire. It's in man to worship something. If people don't worship the true God, they're going to worship something else. They'll worship their house, they'll worship their car, they'll worship their money, they'll worship anything. They're going to worship something. They'll create an idol. Anywhere you go, you can go into the deepest, darkest jungles. You can go into the freezing parts of Alaska, and they'll take and make a totem pole, and they make that an idol. They make it a god. You go into Africa, into the jungles, and they'll make something a god. You go into India, they'll make a rock, they'll make a tree, they'll make anything a god, and they'll worship that. Because God put it in there to worship. God put it in there that we know somewhere there is a God. No matter what you believe, no matter what people disbelieve, everyone knows there's a God somewhere. They say they're atheists. No, they say that all they want to. That's intellect. They're saying that with their intellect. Just as soon as they face death, they cry out to God because they know that there's a God. This body knows there's a God. God put something in this body to make you worship something, and you'll do it. And Cain wanted to worship God. He came and worshiped, but God didn't vindicate it. They both had free moral agency. They both came with sincerity. They both had a desire to worship. They both loved God. That's quite something, isn't it? Cain made an offering, but God didn't vindicate it. God required worship. And Cain made an offering, but God didn't vindicate it. But by the true channel. The true channel. What's the true channel? It's a revelation. Abel came by the true channel. Not that he did anything greater. He had a revelation. God gave him a revelation. God drawed him. God captured him. God revealed himself to him. And God wanted him to manifest the promise that God had in his mind for him to do when he was on earth. And when God revealed that to him, that's what he did. He came right forth and manifested that thought of God that God had in his mind for him to do, and then God vindicated. God vindicated that that was the right thing because God accepted it. It doesn't tell us what God did, how he did it, but God did something that Abel and Cain both knew that God accepted Abel, and they both knew that God rejected Cain. And that thing is still here today. That spirit's here today. And that's the reason that they want to exterminate the Jews. And I can't, I don't mean to keep mentioning it, but the fact is, it's really powerful what's happening right now. The world is turning against the Jews. And in the Bible, according to the Bible, that is God's chosen people.
That's right.
And I try hard to listen to both sides, because those people, they're going back 75 years. Their problem is 75 years ago that Israel returned home and stole their land. That's their argument. That's it. That in 1948, when they came back, we were put out. And a lot of that, though, was not Israel. A lot of that was the Arabs. The Arabs are the ones who made those treaties. The Arabs are the ones who said how it would be. And when Israel tried to give them everything except a little strip of land, it was the Arabs, not the Palestinians. It was the Arabs who said, no, 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 no. These billionaires that are sitting back in their safety and in their luxury, they're the ones who are responsible for the death of all those people. And there's so much misinformation right now. All these things you hear about Israel killing, 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 there is some people who are just now starting to bring out the truth of it, that this has been a phenomena of the precision of what Israel has done in their attack, and how much they have helped the people, how some of them have died helping save those Palestinians who Hamas would not let go. When Israel told them, call them on the phone, drop a knocker on their building, do everything that they could do, telling them to go south, drop leaflets from the sky and tell them, go south, go south. We're fixing to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Hamas trying to hold them back from that. Hamas trying to make them stay there and die. They said it has been a miracle in what Israel has done, that for the thousands and thousands of bombs that have been dropped, that there would be a million people dead by now. And the numbers that they're saying, they're basically just saying, if the news comes from Hamas or the Palestinian side, it's mostly not true. It's because they're so hateful against Israel. And it's coming out, I just read a while ago, where there was a dentist, a Palestinian dentist. And one of the leaders of Israelites spent over an hour on the phone with him, giving him directions, helping him get out. I don't know if they were doing it by satellite or what, but he was trying to escape. And they spent over an hour on the phone with this one person trying to help him. And I've seen Israel, when one person's life was saved, I've seen them dance and sing and praise God for that one life, for one life. And I've listened to some of these other ones that it don't matter. They have no sympathy, no mercy, no nothing for the thousands that have been killed. None from the Palestinian side. And I don't mean to just be down on them, because I'm sure there's good people there on both sides. There's innocent people dying on both sides. And the whole thing is bad. Both sides, it's bad. But you got to look at it through God's glasses.
That's right.
I'm not looking at it through the Palestinian glasses. I'm not looking at it through the Israelites' glasses. I'm looking at it through God's glasses. Amen. And that's God's people. And God put them there. God put them there. And so I just want to be like that king down there who's, God said, if he don't pray for you, your whole nation's going to be destroyed. And so I'd just be saying, we want your blessings. God interprets his own word by its terms that he spoke in. How about that? God interprets his own word by its terms. So it don't matter when I read the word of God and I think, oh, it's this or it's that or it's the other. No, it's in the terms that God had in his mind when he spoke it. So many times we misunderstand one another when we're talking. And I've had a misunderstanding with a building contractor on a job. And I thought he was really, is after me and really giving me a hard time. And I found out today that he totally misunderstood my statement. And I had been using a letter from the manufacturing company for these beams that we buy, LBLs, and they send us a letter that's saying, this is the size beam you need, blah, blah, blah. And so I get that there, and the inspector says, no, that's not what I want. I want one. I want an engineer, and I want him to say how many jacks and how many kings and how is it go all the way to the ground. And I said, well, I've been using this for 30 years. So he interpreted what I said, that I was not going to give him the letter that he wanted. And so he's been jacking me around for about 3 weeks. And, you know, I got him the letter. I got an engineer to come out and do all of that. And so today, he's still dragging on me. And so I said, listen, I really don't appreciate this, what you're doing. I said, this is costing the customer. And he said, well, you told me that you weren't going to get me the letter. I said, sir, I never told you that. I said, I don't have any choice but to do everything that you say. How could you even say that anyone's going to tell you that they're not going to do it? I said, so he reads me my text. And where I told him, I said, well, this is what I've used for 30 years. I've never had any problem with this. So he interpreted that I was telling him that I was not going to do what he wanted and that he was going to have to accept this letter. And I'm like, I can't believe that's how you interpreted my words. And so I said, I'm sorry. I said, this is not what I meant. I said, I was getting you the letter the whole time. I said, but my point was, too, that they let you, that you have until the final to give it to you. And so I just... It's easy to misunderstand. It's easy to misunderstand. And millions are misunderstanding the Word of God. They're misunderstanding the Word of God because they're trying to put it into their intellectual idea. And it's got to come down to God's terminology. Cain and Abel knew that God wanted to be worshipped. Cain and Abel knew that God wanted a sacrifice. They both knew it. And they both loved God, and they both wanted to do it. And they both wanted to be accepted by God. But God only revealed it to one of them, how it was. God revealed to one of them the terms, what God had in his mind. That was the only problem. They both came, and they both sacrificed. They both did a labor of love for God. But God had something in his mind that he wanted. And Cain, there was no way that anybody could know what was in God's mind. But God revealed to Abel what was in his mind. And so Abel began to act out, to manifest what God had in his mind. That was that it. And God vindicated. Yes, that's it. That's exactly what I wanted. And that's exactly what God's vindicating today. His life in his bride. He's vindicating it. Jesus said, the works that I do, will you do also? That's not just healing. That's not just those things. That's part of it. But those works, he said, I don't do anything till the Father shows me. I don't do anything, and the bride don't do anything. And the bride is 100% obedient to that word. She knows what he wants done, and she does it. That's right. Cain said, I am religious. See, God interprets his own word by its terms that he spoke it in. See, Cain said, I am religious. I'm a lover of my maker. I offer to thee this fine altar. I offer to you this sacrifice. I build all of these things up, Lord, because I love you. And Abel said the same thing. Now, it's the one that's vindicated, the one that's proven. And God come down and received Abel's sacrifice because by revelation, he had struck the true channel of God that was accepted. Praise be to God. That's, I hate to keep bringing it up, but it's just something that I think you must balance with as you do all of the revelation. There's a balance to it. If you just run to one side, you're going to go off. And so when you just run off with free moral agency, you keep running that way, and you are the master of your destiny. And that you are the one who decides. You are the one who chose, and you are the one who deserves eternal life because you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And it's not like that. It's not like that. God chose you before the foundation of the world. And God knew the day and the time and the womb that you would come through, and he put you here. And God had a day and a time that he was going to reveal himself to you, that you would know what he wants done with his word in this day. God was going to reveal that. There would be no way that you could know it. There would be no way that you could know God, obey God, do anything, have anything to do with God, unless God did something for you. And that's exactly what he did. And he had it in his mind before the foundation of the world. And so he drew you. He had a seed in there. And he quickened that seed at just the right time. And when that seed come forth, he revealed by revelation. He revealed by revelation the word of the age that you live in. And there's nothing else. He put in you a desire to love him. He put in you a desire to love the revelation of this day. Now, that in itself is a supernatural thing. Because people are loving the word of God. People are worshiping God. People are doing all that. And they're doing it for every age. And I don't know if we're going to get to it or not. Probably not, but Brother Branham was talking about a mason building a wall. And we've read that so many times over the years and used that terminology, it takes a mason. And so I've always thought of it like that, thinking about the prophet, that it takes somebody that God has ordained to turn the corner. But I was reading, and I think it's in Birth Pains. The quotes are there at the end. I don't think we're going to get to it. But anyways, in Birth Pains, he's talking about that. He's saying anybody can lay a straight line. Because what happens is you start a wall. When you start that wall, then you put a string on each end. And so that you can just think, you can build a lead, or you can just put a pole up and you plumb it and you put a string on it. And so you just lay every block right to that string. And it just goes straight. The string is straight. And so every block is straight. It just goes straight. And that's what people have been doing. They just keep going straight. And God is not building a wall. God is building a building. It's a house. And so the Lutherans, they just kept going straight. But there was a corner turned. And then the Wesleyans, they just kept going straight. And there was another corner turned. And then the Pentecostals, they did the same thing. And those people, it goes all the way back to Moses' law. It goes all the way back to them back there. They're still going straight. They're still back there in the law. They're still back there in those things. There's going to be a remnant come out of there. There's an elect come out of there that God's revealing himself to. But all of the rest of it, they're just going straight. They're just like cattle. Brother Branham said, don't be dumb driven cattle. You just start driving them and they just go. And you might want them to go through a gate over here. They're not going to go in the gate. A cow has to be driven. You'll have to go around and turn it and make it go in that gate. They're just going in a straight line. And that's why they keep getting off. Because God's turning and turning and turning. Amen. Praise be to God. Now watch that Cain spirit come right down through the spirit, through the scripture, right on to this very last day. Fundamental, just as fundamental as the other one was. Look at the prophet Balaam and the prophet Moses. Both of them with seven altars, Jehovah's altars, blood on each one. And not only that, but the rams on each one. In numerology, exactly the right number, seven. Perfect. Seven rams. See? Just exactly alike. On which altar? Both. Both altars. Both sacrifices was exactly with the word. As fundamental as one was, the other one was also. But who did God vindicate? Who did God do what? Vindicate. He vindicated the true one. He vindicated the real one. See? The one that was in his word. Fundamental doesn't mean too much. It's the revelation. The ones that were doing it by revelation. Not the ones who were copying you. Not the ones who was doing this or doing that. No, the ones that had it in the inside. The ones that God was revealing himself to. Now think. These men, why was they called? See? And why put in this condition? These Pharisees. But Jesus said, in vain do you worship me. Worship him. See? Genuine worship. True worship from their hearts. He's bringing out another side of it, isn't he? Jesus just said, in vain do you worship me. Brother Branham said it was genuine. They love God. They worship God. They wanted to please God. In vain do you worship me. See, why? Teaching for doctrine their traditions of man. Therefore, you make the commandments of God of no effect to the people. That's right. If I taught you a Methodist message, it would take no effect on you. Huh? If I taught you, we were talking about Wesley on Sunday, if I taught you that Methodist message, which was a dedicated life, he was a messenger. He believed God. He worshiped God. He wanted to please God. But what did they do? They came right along behind him and they organized that thing. And they said, this is it, this is it, this is it. And they died right there. If I taught you a Methodist message, it would take no effect on you. Think about what he's saying. Why would it not take any effect? Because you were elected for another day. If you'd have lived in that day, then you would have took effect on you. Because it took effect on the elect of that day. But it won't take effect today. Because now, this is the bride time. This is the bride time now. If Moses taught the message of Noah, it would take no effect. Huh? No effect. It wouldn't have an effect. And what did Jesus say? You make the word of God of no effect. In vain do you worship. If Jesus taught Moses' message, it would take no effect. Because the predestinated seed are laying there that will only be watered by that type of water that's given for that seed, see? It won't grow any other condition. It must be the condition that it grows it, see? And that's only God can do that. God does it in every age. He quickens it. Brother Branham said, it's the spirit of the age. He said, God, just as the world goes in the spirit of the age, so the worldly things, the elect comes to the spirit of the age in the revelation, in the promise, in the vindicated word that God ordained for the day. If you can take this 89, you can take a chicken egg and put it in an incubator, which should be, it should be under a hen, but it'll hatch anyhow. Put it under a pup, it would hatch. It's the warmness. See? the condition that makes it hatch. This is something. You put this in the spiritual. Look at, there's a lot of eggs hatching. This didn't come the right way. It's the warmness, the condition that makes it hatch. So it has to be under condition. You could take a good live egg and put it under a dead hen. It won't hatch. See? It's the condition. And that's the way it is in this age that we're living in. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals found in their age. God's age and time to do it. That's right. Now the Pentecostals, that brother, I believe it was, one of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California. And now I read this on Sunday, but I only read that one part of it, and I had the whole quote there. And so I'm reading it again because we went through this and we read what Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book. Then they thought that was the real thing. They thought that was the one what God had in his mind, and it wasn't. He said what they did is they denominated it. God poured out those gifts and manifested that, and then they denominated it, and it showed that wasn't the real thing. See, who that colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, Old Azusa Street, he was laughed at, and because he was a Negro, he was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age. Just a little body, a fellow couldn't hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts, and they come. And no matter what said, it come. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it, see, and seen that it was the age, and seen God vindicating that these people could speak with tongues and so forth. But then when he went and pinned it down, this is the only evidence that killed it right there. God just don't let you do it. God just, you're not going to put God in your box. See, goes right on, see, that did it. Then they started separating this and making denominations, and one's coming on a cloud, one's coming in a bush, and my, there it goes. That's right. Yes, God, this would set the whole Bible in confusion. We're in changing messages here. Christ revealed in his own word. This would set the whole Bible in a confusion, break the first commandment, make a God, a pagan God out of three. It would just ruin the whole picture of the Bible. So you must not misinterpret the Bible. That's just one thing. When the very scripture in the Bible has the same application, you've got to set it in its place. And to misplace it, you might make him a God in one age, and in the next age you'd make him a history. To misplace it, see, as we said a while ago, it's got to come in his terms. He is God all the time. If you made him today a God of history, what was back yonder, he isn't the same today. What are you going to do with Hebrews 13:8? See? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, so see what this would do and what it has done. It's already done. Make him deny his own word. To misplace the scripture is so important. To dislocate. See, to dislocate the scriptures, you might put his body together wrong. The foot where the head should be. See, something. So in other words, you might have Jesus teaching Moses' message. You might have, or even Wesley teaching Luther's message. You might have now, our age, teaching a Pentecostal message. It just won't work, will it? He identifies it over and over and over. You might have now our age teaching Pentecost, the Pentecostal message. You see what a mess it would be in? Pentecost has already showed its colors. Luther has already showed his, went off into denomination. It died right there. The age struck, and there it went. And just as soon as it was organized, it died. And now just see that it isn't right. Look back through the pages of history. Every time it organized, it died right there. There never was no more to it. It became a worshiper of the God of this world and went off into organisms. and organizations and denominations and illusions. A bunch of Rickies got into there and put their objections into it, or injected their own thoughts, rather, into it. And what did it happen? It became a mess. Going to head up in the God of this world, where they'll throne Satan himself, thinking that they're having a great world leader to bring them peace. It's amazing. Look at what's happening right now. Look at the craziness, the insanity that the people have right now. All right, we've got a few more minutes. Let's look in this in One in a Million. This is in 1965. Now, coming to Tucson, it was strange. Those visions speaking to you in the name of the Lord, not one of them has, as I ever can recall, and will ask anyone if they can recall any time that he ever did say anything, but what was the truth. It always happens just the way he says it will happen. And he's supposed to, according to the scriptures, return to us in this last days, in this type of ministry, And God vindicates this type of ministry. That will be after the baptism of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and divine healing and so forth. These things, see, the capping of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of today. That's right. See, after the baptism of the Spirit, after the gifts were poured out, after all of those things were brought, then the capstone comes. And what is it? The capping of this of the Pentecostal message is what we're speaking of today. This ministry of Christ himself impersonated among his people with the very same thing that he did when he was here on earth, in his body, the bride. Huh? Doing the same thing in his body, in the bride, which is part of him, doing the same things as husband and wife, see, just before the marriage ceremony. Praise be to God. Amen. So he talks about Israel now, is that with birth pains there. He talks about Israel, and I added that in there just at the last minute, and because I was afraid I wouldn't have enough. So I always have to have more. I don't want to come up short. But anyways, it's a good read, and he talks about several things there, and they are thinking about I'm thinking about Israel constantly because of what's going on, and I'm trying to look at it and be unbiased when I'm looking at their sides, Palestinian versus Israel, and the stories and everything. But I've really seen where Israel has gone out of their way to limit the number of casualties, and whereas Hamas wants a lot of casualties. They want it. And so we know that Satan is on his job and he's going to do his thing, but God is on his job. And God's word is going to vindicate every promise that God had for this day. Amen. So we thank God for that. All right, we're going to ask you to stand together with us. We'll dismiss in prayer. And as we thank him and praise him for all things. So we want to continue to remember Brother Goomba. And I want you to remember Sister Evelyn. She went to the doctor the other day, and she has a few issues. And we just want to remember her. God is, they think there's some things that they can do to help her, and help her eliminate some pain. And so we want to remember her, and that God will make the way. And we know that God can use doctors, and so we got a doctor. We want God's blessings to be on him. We want God's to move those hands and to do everything just right. And so we're always going to give God the praise and the glory for all of it. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you. Lord, we do appreciate, as we look at the word, we look at the revelation, Lord, that you always vindicate the promise of the age. Lord, in every predestinated seed, you vindicate it, Lord. And Lord, their works, their life, the manifestation of the word, Lord, that's coming forth from them is the vindication, Lord, that you're there, that you're with them, Lord, that you're being manifested, that the promise is here upon us. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. We ask you would bless each one here, those that would listen in, Lord. Bless Sister Evelyn and Brother Goomba, Lord, the family. Lord, we just commit them each one. We pray for Sister Betty, Lord, that you would continue to touch her, strengthen her, for also for Sister Rebecca, Lord, that you would strengthen her. And Lord, we just commit them each one to you. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.